Hey, this is Tom Greenwood, a.k.a. Frolicky from the X-Files. You're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Enjoy it, because I know I do.
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. Tonight's guest, she's an American UFO alien abduction researcher. She also is a dedicated counseling professional in Hatha and yoga, and author of the book, The Love Bite, Alien Interference of Human Love Relationships. Please, Shadow Nation, help us welcome Eve Lorgan to the studio. Eve, how are you doing tonight, ma'am?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my God. Finally. I believe I believe the men in black have been working here.
Oh, you never know.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, we apologize to you out there in the Shadow Nation. Nathan, go ahead and say hey, bud.
Hi, this is Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter, talking to you from my phone, which is, I think this is my first time doing this, Sean.
I think so, since probably 9 years ago when we had to do it from the phone. But
we
are here in studio, guys, and like I said, we have Eve here tonight, and we're ready to go with this, Eve. You know, it's funny because you're such a great author, and you've done so much work, and we've been doing our homework with you. And I have so many questions for you tonight. For our listeners, can you just get into a little bit of the background? Why aliens? Why'd you get involved in that?
Well, I was interested in the UFO phenomena really from my childhood onward because of family incidents that occurred. And I started studying more of this professionally after my biochemistry career, and then studied counseling psychology with the emphasis on wanting to look more into the alien abduction phenomena and what I call anomalous trauma, because it actually includes a lot more than just UFOs and alien visitations. So I learned a lot and interviewed many people. I had a support group out of San Diego County, California, and, you know, came to discover a lot of things that weren't necessarily in the literature and the research at the time, which really motivated me to write my first book called The Love Bite, about how aliens essentially orchestrate love relationships or disrupt them or interfere in some way throughout people's lives that were generally taken many times by aliens. And so that actually extended into many more years of research and working with people clinically through, you know, hypnosis and group support and counseling and research in many areas. And then I wrote my second book called The Dark Side of Cupid, Love Affairs, the Supernatural, and Energy Vampirism. So I really streamlined the essential things that I observed over the years that appeared to be a result of alien interference, although I'd say now there's a lot more paranormal things involved in this. It's actually somewhat complicated.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's all right, because this is the show.
I just want to say thank you, because after years of so many ex-girlfriends talking badly about me, I was able to contact all of them after reading your book and saying, it wasn't my fault, it was the aliens.
Yeah.
Well, you never know until you, you know, look back and you start observing the whole picture and what are the influences. And, you know, many years ago when I first started my research, we really didn't have the depth of research that we do now about a lot of technologies that could account for some of this. Although I'm not saying that the entities and the aliens don't exist, I think they do, and people still do have visitations. It's just that now there's a lot more involved that could explain more of the interdimensional aspect, as well as refined frequency technology.
Right. Now, master's degree in counseling in 1992, also bachelor's in biochemistry. So Eve is no stranger here, guys, to what's going on. San Diego County. You started a support group, of course, in 1994. At what point do you think you went into this and said, okay, these people, there's something here, and they're being abducted more than – they're being abducted, first off, and they're being abducted more than once. And then what led to the alien love influence type thing? And why are they involved in human love affairs? Why would they care?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question I asked, and basically most of the people who reported this kind of experience where they felt the aliens or their alien watchers or their alien handlers were setting them up in love relationships Some believe it was because they wanted them to marry someone and have children of a particular genetic combination. And I put that in my first book, The Love Bite, like the different motivations on why they're doing this. But for a long story short, I think a lot of this was more about emotional harvesting of energy and sexual energy and what some people call louche. I believe these alien beings, the interdimensional ones, have a keen interest in the life force of humans as well as genetics, but they feed on our life force energy, essentially. So they create all these like emotional dramas of crashing lows and ecstatic highs and merging with your beloved and then switching the other person off and this ridiculous drama of chaos. Mm-hmm. And so that was what I learned actually from my mentor, Barbara Bartholik, who was a longtime alien abduction researcher and hypnotherapist. She actually helped Dr. Carla Turner in her research as well.
Right.
And it was through attending Dr. Carla Turner's lectures and reading her books, which were very similar to what was being reported to the people from the people in my group in Southern California, that I wanted to meet not only Dr. Carla Turner on her last lecture in San Diego, but I also came to know Barbara Bartholik and corresponded with her closely for many years. And so it was Barbara Bartholik's deep understanding of her research with alien abductees over the years, with people who had, you know, abductions with specifically reptilians, but many other kinds of beings, where they would put them through these love obsession types of situations where there was a lot of anomalies occurring that wasn't in the literature at the time, because this field is full of a lot of what we call high strangeness, to put it bluntly, or even that's an understatement.
Actually. Right, right.
A lot of really unusual things.
That's
happen.
Just another explanation of our lives, but yes, go ahead.
Yeah. So a lot of people don't really want to report everything in their experience because they fear that they won't be credible if they maybe say something else about their experience. So a lot of these things, I think, were left out of earlier abduction reports. And now we're only starting to get the whole story of all the different things that are really going on, which so to me it indicates that these beings are essentially parasites to our soul and our life form, and that they are taking something from us and living through us and trying to create a type of hybrid race through us as well.
Okay.
So.
Well, it's kind of like Dr. Go ahead, Eva. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, I mean, there's so much to this, it would be hard to say it in a short period of time, but I believe that the energy vampirism aspect is very important and might even be one of the primary things that these beings are interested in under the guise of many other things, including the extraterrestrial hypothesis. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot of smoke and mirrors that things are done to make it appear one way, but maybe another thing may be happening underneath.
Yeah.
And we've come to discover this later through observing the deceptions and the smoke and mirrors and the paranormal nature, as well as the what I call the mind control manipulation nature of these beings and perhaps the humans who are working with them or through them. So we have what we call the MILAB or the military abduction accounts that consist of not only people having classic alien abduction and visitation histories, but they also are taken by a military or a shadow government or a human component, a human element that appear to be working in liaison with some of these alien groups. And so we call that the breakaway civilization in some of the more recent definitions. But there's something to that, and there is a lot of mind control and, you know, a shadow darker element involvement with some of these other groups that I believe they're more nefarious, they're parasitic in nature. So that's what I've discovered anyway.
You know,
and
that's
not popular. You know, it's not a popular opinion, really.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, and, you know, Dr. David Jacobs came on our show. And, of course, you know Dr. Jacobs. He believes in the alien-human hybrids. This is what you just brought up. And, you know, we're going to get into the military abductions, the super soldier, stuff like that. But he believes that, you know, the aliens, of course, are abducting people, mating with them for a very dark purpose. I had asked him the question, Nathan and I did on the show, Dr. Jacobs, do we have something to be afraid of? He said, absolutely. What do you think? Because you're a very enlightened person. I mean, you know, and you look at it from all sides. So you're not running out in the street going, we're being invaded. You know what I mean? So you see
although Barbara Bartholik used that term in terms of, like, the invasion And I mean, I think it's already occurred. It's no mystery that this kind of thing has invaded our world because of weak points and vulnerabilities in groups of humans, which I believe have allowed this in through some kind of contact with a malevolent intelligence. And, you know, this could actually go back to the whole fallen angels and watchers kind of thing from ancient history that's in our biblical literature.
Right.
And I believe now, based on what I've seen with the trends of the kinds of people who are reporting this in general, but not 100%, because I don't want to say it's all or nothing, but yeah. Many of these people have the ancestral, what I call the bloodline histories of, let's say, I call it the Illuminati bloodline ancestry, or based on, you know, the ancient royalty, which some people go back to these fallen angel watcher lineages, or there's some lineages that just have a unique gift of psychic abilities and other things, and that there's certain people that are targeted to have these abductions and visitations or being sheep-dipped to be put in specific projects that are MK Ultra, for example, or sub-projects under them, which may be some of what we're hearing with the super soldier projects, but there may be an alien element involved. For example, many of the abductees, like the MILABs, they may have, let's say, alien handlers or a reptilian handler in addition to the humans who are working with them.
Right.
Kind of thing. So there's
and
that going.
For the
now,
listeners
now
out
Eve,
there.
I am required on this show as a Mason and definitely not a member of a subgroup of the Illuminati to report that the Illuminati does not exist.
Yes.
We are required to say that. I mean, if it existed, we'd be required to say that, but we don't, so.
He's amazing.
Well, how people describe it, although usually if you look in the lineage of people, you will see certain commonalities, and it usually could be traced back to a certain lineage of interest to these beings who are working through certain groups. But it almost appears as, let's say, a dark one and a light one, where the dark ones are connected somehow to these fallen angel lineages, and then there's the good ones that may be connected to the Christ Grail bloodline, and I don't know how true this is, but there's ones that have true gifts, and then they seek to corrupt and interbreed and exploit and co-opt the ones that have the gifts so that they can control and exploit those bloodlines that have the gifts, so they can control them to use them as operatives, for example, like super soldiers under mind control, to carry out another agenda which appears to be nefarious and controlling and in liaison with these darker entities which are parasitic in nature, feeding off of humanity somehow, like a spiritual warfare game.
Right. Now, of course, for our listeners out there, my labs, military abductions, guys, for people that don't know about that, MIA labs, military abductions.
Oh, yeah, you know, there is some confusion about that term that I actually want to clarify.
Yes,
the
please.
Term came probably with Helmut Lammer. He was the one who maybe brought this to light with his book called My Labs.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Carla Turner also had, you know, many cases that dealt with military abductees who also had alien abduction connections.
Right.
And so really the MILAB word is a contraction of the term military and abduction. But it originally meant that there was, let's say, a genuine alien abductee who gets multiple visitations and gets taken by a certain alien being, and then the military will come and get them also or work with the aliens. So they had both kinds of experiences. It doesn't really, it's not a notation for a lab or a laboratory, for example, but oftentimes people are taken to what they remember to be some kind of underground military installation or a subterranean bases inside mountains where things are done to them during these abductions.
Kind of like Dulce.
Eve, I have to ask, because earlier on you mentioned dimensions, and I am a novice dimensional theory enthusiast. And, of course, you know, whenever you get into dimensional theory, you go into the plus one theory of, like, we live in a three plus one dimension where we're a three dimension plus time. And if you were to go into a dimension that was four plus one or five plus one, time would move differently. And so somebody watching our dimension from another dimension might actually be seeing our future, but passing through would come through at an earlier or later time. Do you think that if this is a dimensional invasion, that this would be somebody who would actually be coming through to our dimension to try and change our future?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose. suppose that's possible. I mean, I've heard accounts where people are taken in and out of time, you know. But I suppose it's possible. Like, let's say there's an entry point in one-dimensional time-space reality in an abductee's life, and once they have that entry point, then they could use that to enter at any time along their timeline history so that, you know, they remember having abductions all their life, but maybe the entry point was one single point from which they could access their whole timeline kind of thing. But, yeah, it's complex. There's a lot of unusual things being reported, you know, missing time or like someone will have an abduction. All they see is a craft or a point of light, like a blinking light, and then they think it's just a blinking light they saw. And then they have the time-looped memories later of having had an entire event of several hours that was looped in, that they, something actually happened, but they didn't have a memory of it in their physical life because they looped the time.
Mm. Now, you know, let's talk about that, Eve. You bring up a good one. And, you know, being in radio like Nathan and I and covering these topics for going on, this is our 10th year on the air, it's our anniversary coming up. And we truly believe that things interfere with broadcast. They interfere with the distribution of news and important messages like what you're getting out. And I know you do, too, because you've commented on it before.
Yeah.
It's very real. So if you're a radio host or you're researcher guys out there, we're not making this stuff up. It does happen. Of course, we just, you know, you know that these things, you know, don't usually happen. Then all of a sudden you have a great guest like Eve come on and your system blows. So, you know.
Unfortunately. I mean, I've
2 weeks in a row. Yes,
like strange things. Like Barbara Bartolik, who was my mentor, you know, before she died, had a lot of unusual things that would happen in correspondence with working with certain clients, and just unusual paranormal events, things blowing up, you know, power lines going out, and just one thing after another. So I noticed this, you know, like before or after a radio show, or working with certain clients in my group, or some people just had more military or a spooky shadow government connections, and so strange things would happen, you know, when they were in the group.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is very common. It's unfortunate, you know. A lot of Skype conversations are disrupted, or telephone conversations where my line just went dead for like 2 days, so that nobody can contact me for a group or something. It's so common, and also paranormal things as well, in terms of what I call the psychic dream hacking, or the unusual physical events that appear to be some kind of technology of targeting, could happen to you or people around you so that your life is disrupted to disrupt certain lines of research. So now I've come to believe that, you know, mainstream media and things that are in, even in our history books, now that I know what's happening in terms of when we really start going down that rabbit hole to search the truth, so to speak, I think that a lot of our history has been distorted or removed, and that whatever's in mainstream is not necessarily the whole truth. It tends to be the spin, what they call the spin-controlled story.
Right.
So I think that now what we really need to do is a lot of our own research and experiential wisdom of dealing with this to find out the truth.
Now, Eve, you've mentioned several races, if you will, of aliens. You've discussed it in depth on lots of shows, and you've had it on your website. Greys, reptilians, draconians. Why do you, and you've said these mean to do us harm, that these different breeds of aliens, if you will, are out to, I think you said greys, reptilians, draconians.
Yes.
Why?
I mean, those are the greys are the ones that are primarily being reported with the classic alien abduction syndrome.
Right.
Although many different ones are reported, unusual features, you know, cockroach beings, you know, ant beings, you know, tall Nordics, you know, six-fingered beings, orange beings, I mean, bird-like beings. I mean, there's so many different kinds reported that it's hard to even count. But most of the ones, let's say, in the MILABs are the grays, different gray species and hybrids, and reptilian lizard types, dinosaur, alligator god types, Dracos, human military and Nordic, and mantis types. Those are the usual ones. And then there's some that are higher on the hierarchy that Dr. Corrado Malanga of Italy, who I corresponded with, had a whole hierarchy of beings that he discovered through his research with alien abductees, where the higher ones on the hierarchy were these ones that he called the Orus Ra type of being. And it appeared to be a bird-like being with a cape It had a particular type of feature that was almost like some of the ancient Egyptian gods. And I've actually seen some of these ancient Egyptian ones even in the astral realm, where people report things like, you know, Set, like the ancient Egyptian gods.
Right.
So, and then like cat-like beings, for example.
Right.
So, who knows? I think they take many forms.
Well, that's what's so confusing. How many different breeds, I guess you would say, would you say race or breeds of these aliens?
That's a good question. Well, it depends. If they're physical, I suppose you can call them a species or a breed, but
right.
I don't know whether or not they're completely physical. I think most of them are interdimensional or maybe extra-dimensional, and they may have the ability to, you know, shapeshift, for example, and they may only interact, let's say, in the astral realm or in another dimensional reality when they're interacting with us. But one of the things that Malanga found, the Italian researcher, was that some of them, let's say, took the form of this Orus Ra being or a Sauroid creature or a Nordic cyborg type, and what was really behind these forms were actually masks, which was a housing unit for a black shadow or dot that was just like a black shadow entity that actually came from what he thought was another universe that was archetypically behind our universe, so that there were certain beings that actually came from, as if they came from another cosmos or another universe, and then there were some beings who came from our own universe, and they acted differently. So certain beings actually came and parasited us in a certain way, who were from this, quote, dark other universe, and then some that were from our own universe, and they parasited us almost like a type of possession, and they had a certain way of interacting in our energy body. So we were able to tell what people were reporting, what kind of being was actually parasiting them. Because it's a type of parasitism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let's talk about the mysterious deaths surrounding ufology in the ufology community and eyewitnesses. This is one of the biggest topics on this show. I love covering it. It's a very sad, tragic thing. You know, everywhere, listed from cause of deaths from death by gunshot to the head, death by probable poisoning, death by probable strangulation, implantation of deadly viruses, and everyone usually listed as suicide. You guys don't believe me? Ask Eve. Look it up online. Am I right, Eve? How many crazy cases out there? These people are found with their Phil Snyder, whistleblower.
Yes, I was thinking of that.
Yeah, Bill Snyder, Cooper.
Bill Cooper.
From WBCQ, shot dead in the head, Wave Radio Talk Show. You know, he was in our field. Phil Snyder, Ron John, June 9th, 1994.
That's right. Ron Johnson. He was the one who did the men who stare at goats, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. James McDonald tried to convince Congress, look into the UFO, found dead. You know, what do you think's going
on? Mysterious right there. I believe that there's technologies and coercion which can create things that look like, let's say, fast-acting cancers or accidents. Yeah. I mean, even Barbara Bartolik was hit in her car with her husband by someone driving like 100 miles an hour that flipped their car over and it flapped, you know, crashed, you know, down and right on top of her body. And luckily she lived for at least a year after that accident, but it was a hit and run, which was very mysterious. So a lot of these circumstances of accidents and deaths are mysterious and unlikely. And I believe that there's technologies that could cause people to go crazy, like the frequency beaming mind control technologies that they're using now. It's, you know, the targeted individual thing is just really on the rise. So there's something going on with these people experimenting on us humans.
Yeah.
We know too much.
Yeah. Do you ever, like you were talking about Carla before, you know, I believe she died of some form of mysterious cancer. Several people, like you said before, have died of this problem. You know, they say cancer of this, cancer of that. Strangulation. Phil Snyder found with the catheter tied around, what was his hands tied behind his back, right? With a catheter tube. They said he did it. And then, you know, he died. He laid there for a couple days. They found him. Coroner puts suicide. No investigation, no nothing. And the wife has come forward and said, this is crazy. They got him. They killed him. But the question is, what can we do? I mean, as the human race, the government says, we listen. I mean, how do we fight this back, Eve? How, by going on shows like you're doing right now, do you ever fear for your safety, for your life?
Well, I mean, I've had that, you know, threats and things happen, and I just do my best, and I know these things happen, but it's not good to be in fear all the time either, and sure. Having a strong spiritual core of deep knowing and, you know, doing what you think is right, and just keep moving forward. I think more and more people are waking up so that they're not as easily intimidated, but, you know, things do happen in this world, and we live in an unusual world.
No.
You know?
Well, it's interesting, too, because Sean and I just interview people. That's what we do. We talk to people so they can get their message out. But we have put together shows and had Men in Black show up following us around. Unusual people show up at our doors the day of a big interview, or black helicopters. We've had, excuse me, we've made jokes while talking to people in Russia about the KGB still existing and the wires go dead.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all this little stuff that happens to us, and we sit there going, is there something to this? Is somebody actually listening to us?
Yeah.
Well, we hope somebody's listening, but is there somebody we don't want to listening?
Boost our numbers.
Probably, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know,
I think it's a game for some of these beings, and I mean, I've learned some things from other healers, and I think that if we can understand the nature of the game here in this reality, and I think it's a spiritual game, a spiritual war kind of game, so we have to learn, if we can learn how the game is played and learn maybe not to be pulled into their game so that they could manipulate us. And this is what I've learned in healing people who've been through trauma. It's actually found that if somebody has gone through repeated trauma and dissociation, that experience itself can leave vulnerabilities of interdimensional interference, as well as what I call agreements of entrapment with other beings that some people may pray to, or they make binding agreements with through certain cults, for example. Mm. And then that leaves them open to the interference by certain kinds of beings who lay a legal claim to that person's soul. So if we could learn how to break these contracts and agreements and integrate our own self from, you know, healing and resolving any kind of traumas or ancestral curses, for example, and we can become more empowered to our true spiritual nature. So that's part of the empowerment process.
You know, when Dr. Jacobs was on, we had discussed, and I kind of disagree with you. I'm in no place to disagree, but, you know, with the Dr. Jacobs. But he had said, and he's probably right, that I had asked him, how do you know if you've been abducted? You know, all of us have been driving down the road, and let's say, you know, you need to get off on Allisonville Road and you find yourself 3 miles down. You know, that could possibly be time
off. We used to call those wormholes.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, think about it. That could be, it could be as easy as that. It could be as easy.
I know. It does happen. I mean, there are classic cases where, you know, you're gone for several hours and there's physical evidence and, you know, things like that really do happen. They're not all bedroom visitations by some entity who appears in your room. I mean, there are physical events that occur with evidence.
Right.
So,
well, I have to say, too, after we spoke to the doctor, like Sean was saying, he was saying how people who have been abducted,
yes,
all of a sudden they'll be looking at an animal and they'll think, wow, that animal has really big eyes. And it's actually the experience that they've had by communicating to the grays or the reptilians of seeing those big eyes, like, bleeding through. And right after he said that, the next day I was sitting on my back porch and a squirrel came up. And I was sitting there thinking, that squirrel has the biggest black eyes I've ever seen. And all of a sudden I went, oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, it makes you want to look back in your childhood if you've had, you know, a fear of certain kinds of animals and you don't know why, like irrational fears and phobias.
Sure.
You know, missing time, repeated UFO sightings, waking up with the strange body marks or scoop marks, you know, dreams of UFOs and entities. I mean, those are signs that something could actually be happening. So it's always good to look at the whole clinical picture of what's going on.
Well, you know, one of the things that I was trying to say that I kind of felt different than Dr. Jacobs on, Eve, was, and I want to get your opinion because I value it. He said,
What did you say you felt? I missed that.
I disagreed with him on this thing I'm getting ready to tell you, and I wanted to get your opinion because I value what you think about it. Abductions. He said it's either in your family, you're marked from birth, you've had a background history, grandma, great-grandma, somebody's been abducted, or you're not. If you haven't been labeled, your family, since the dawn of time, has been labeled for these abductions, that it won't happen to you. And because I was asking him the same thing. Well, you know, do you think maybe, you know, you lose track of time sometimes? Could it be that? How do you know if you've been abducted? And he said, you know, it has to be in your family. What do you think?
Well, most of the time, I believe that's true. Although there may be some opportunistic cases where people are used as guinea pigs for some reason or another. And sometimes, like, they'll take you, and they thought you were like somebody else. Like, I've had a case where a woman had her and her girlfriend spent the night at her house, and she thought that, I guess, the aliens came, and they thought because the girl slept in her room and they switched rooms, they came and got the girlfriend and then realized it was the wrong person, kind of thing. And sometimes they'll do it on accident, or they'll take a person who's not an abductee just for the case, for the purpose of, let's say, one of these alien love bites. That they'll take someone who they want to be this partner for them for some reason, and then they won't be an abductee, but they took them just for the purpose of that.
Right.
I've had that kind of thing reported.
Let's go to the alien love bite for a second there. I would love to know more about how they direct people's physical and emotional attractions to other people.
Truly amazing. It really is. This was in my first book called The Love Bite, and that was from several case studies, not only of my own, but some that I actually chose from even Bud Hopkins' Linda Cortile case, which was a famous, he wrote a whole book on it, but didn't really focus on the love bite part. Mm-hmm. And this was where she was bonded several times with a man who was also an abductee, and bonded with him several times throughout their childhood and young adulthood. And then later they met in life, and, you know, they both remembered, and because they both had had enough of their own memory with hypnotic regression to piece together the memories of basically knowing that they were taken and pre-bonded throughout life in these scenarios that were set up by these alien beings. Mm. So we know that that actually does occur, although most people don't remember so much. They just have a few memories, and they know they're being set up. So I think the aliens choose their own reasons, and I go into that in the love bite, like why they set you up with one person. And sometimes they're experimenting to see if you have a affinity for someone else, and then they'll appear in a dream, but it's like a stage, what I call a stage-managed dream, or a virtual reality scenario where there's somehow I'm able to take the person maybe astrally and then do a bunch of different scenarios and find out if you have an attraction for them, and you know, and they'll do these, like, emotional experiments. Mm. So that definitely happens. And sometimes they put MILABs together because they want them to work together on these black ops, and they may work together as, let's say, a telepathic pair where they can transfer telepathic information together because they are so bonded, they're soul bonded. So those kind of things happen.
You know, you would think that would wear off, Eve, because it's amazing in the different, of course, the times have changed, just like Bob Dylan said, the times are changing, right? But, you know, it's, I guess you don't like my singing voice, but, you know, times have changed, but it's like if they are affecting our relationships, our attractions, our sexual attraction, our love attraction, why is the percentage of divorce getting so high? You would think if you're being influenced by these beings that you would be in love for forever. Everything would be great, right? Until you hit your purpose.
Right? Uh-huh. I mean, I think they can do this, and I believe that there's more to this. I was doing some research. It was actually a link that was on an article that I put up from a French correspondent who sent me an article that was translated from French into English, but it was really about a lot of research done a lot with the ancient European history of different kinds of sorcery and magic where people could be put together in love spells between lover and beloved through the manipulation by the sorcerer or the magician or the alchemist who could actually create these bonds and energy tendrils between lover and beloved. And then the primary purpose in some of these magician things is to get someone to be obsessed and fall in love with you without them really knowing you're manipulating it. Or let's say they have a being, a demon or an interdimensional being working on their behalf to create these magical love spells, and for the purpose of garnering power from the love itself. So there's a lot of power in the human love connection as well as the sexual energy. But when you realize, you know, behind all of this is power. It's a lot of power. And that's what the whole sex magic thing is about. Mm. So I think the aliens are doing something similar because they know that humans are resources of power, soul power, and love power and sex power.
I was going to say, as a member of the man race here, sex drives us. So, yeah, we're in trouble, you know. It wouldn't take much.
I have to say I spent a good portion of my life traveling around and studying different people's belief systems.
Looking for sex.
Yeah. And when I actually came in contact with people who practiced love and sex magic, I probably spent a little more time studying their beliefs than I did with other groups.
Eve's going, oh, my God, what did I get myself into?
Well, there's always something behind it. I mean, when you do the research, that's why I believe it's not necessarily a contemporary issue. This is something that's been going on for a long time, maybe under different guises.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it was Giorgiano Bruni of Italy in the 1600s who wrote about these love, sorcery, magic, alchemy things that were going on. I think he got burned to the stake for what he revealed.
Yeah.
So there was people who were doing this way back when. Once they figured out how to do it, they can do all kinds of things. So it's essentially, I believe, it's how well, let's say, a magician can do this in sorcery. But in my experience working with people who've had what I call the Dark Side of Cupid relationship, which is my second book, it's essentially a love bite kind of thing.
Great book.
We find that there's a third-party entity involved that's hovering over one partner or both partners, or it's working through one partner who's acting as a type of conduit or organic portal for an entity. And that interdimensional being basically uses this person to take energy from the other through a manipulation, a type of manipulation.
Right.
So that's actually what's happening. And people would be basically partially possessed or fully possessed by some of these vampiric beings who function on other dimensional levels of reality.
Right. Now, Eve, I know we got you on a little late, sis. I know we're running out of time, but just bear with me. Let me get a couple more questions out here. Anomalous trauma. A lot of people hear your name, they think aliens automatically because of your books, because of your knowledge. But there's so much more to Eve, guys. There's demonic, psychic attacks, like you said, spiritual warfare, mind control. First, I want to ask you, first question, mind control with your psychology background. You really believe that someone's mind can be controlled, into what point, what degree?
Oh, goodness, yes. Well, I mean, we have evidence with people who've been involved in MKUltra, and there's a lot of literature out, you know, on that, and people from cult abuse families or gurus who will do certain types of brainwashing through their spiritual, you know, indoctrination. But sometimes it's actually a type of magic, but there's always a form of brainwashing. But in general, mind control can happen in many different ways. But primarily, the way that it's most effective is if someone is traumatized and then coerced into a type of belief through programming after being traumatized or during the trauma itself.
Yeah.
And that's part of the principles behind what they call trauma-based mind control. Although now I think there's ways to do this where they can put us into a altered state, let's say an alpha state or a theta state, which is a brainwave EEG state where we have a greater receptivity to having access to our subconscious mind because our conscious minds are more or less open during certain brainwave states, like when we're watching movies or TV or music videos where certain frequencies are being, you know, relayed through that media.
Yeah.
Then we can be easily mind controlled through different kinds of frequencies. So I believe there's different kinds of frequencies that if we're being bombarded with certain frequencies, we can go into trances or have things shift for us. I mean, one of the things that happens in abductions is sometimes before the event occurs, they may hear or feel a very deep vibrational sound or vibration in their body, and then they go into a forced paralysis where all they can do is move their eyes and see what's happening, and then the beings come and they, you know, basically pull them out of their reality or the environment while they've been paralyzed through this frequency beam. or it's like a beam of light that can come through and paralyze them and pull them up into a ship. So there's different kinds of, I think, frequency technologies that are used that can, you know, create these things.
Well, that's, what do you think about that, Nathan?
I've been putting my phone on mute in between so I didn't disturb anything.
That's okay.
I'm blown away because, again, I look at these things as an invasion. Like we've said before, with I'm being invaded, we're being invaded. And everybody's always so focused on such minute little things that go on here on the planet that I almost think sometimes that they're distractions from the greater plan.
Absolutely. And that would be a good focus to, you know, stay focused, being able to see kind of like a holistic overall plan and be able to observe connections between all of that instead of getting distracted in the side arena shows that happen. And I think a lot of, well, our lifestyle is a lot of distractions and sometimes a lot of entertainment instead of, you know, connecting with the earth, for example, and getting, you know, more connected with the cycles of nature and functioning on a more simplistic way where you know, focus your energy. So I think there's certain practices that can help us with focusing and expanding our awareness so that we don't allow these distractions, you know, so much power over our mind. Things like meditation and Qigong and yoga can help us in, you know, focusing our awareness and being more aware and grounded.
Now that's interesting to me too, because you were talking about putting your mind in an alpha or a theta state, and yoga tends to put people's minds into an alpha state.
Yeah, I would imagine, you know, depending on what they're practicing, I do think that grounding to the earth and the bioenergy field of the earth is very, very important. And a lot of people, we don't do that in our modern society. We don't necessarily, you know, walk on the earth with shoes, for example, that are even grounding. You know, I mean, the Native Americans had a really more natural way of grounding to the earth, for example.
Yeah.
I think our society is, we just tend to be all in our head, especially in the Western society. We're very mental and very busy and distracted. And, you know, when we can be rooted to the earth and be more simplistic, and I think it's easier to stay grounded and less distracted.
You know, Eve, on your website, you know, Nathan's a student of demonology, been in it for years. I myself grew up in a haunted home, so I was thrust into the world of the paranormal. I thought a lady with black eyes walking through the front room was something normal until I was 13 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was up close and personal with it. Nathan, on the other hand, has seen exorcisms. He's been, you know, inside the spiritual more so than I. So we're both students of the paranormal. You speak about demons on your website, demonic influence. You don't really go into exorcisms, things of that nature. What do you think about demonic possession of individuals, and how effective is Roman Catholic rituals, things of that nature?
And are these rituals that they perform really just a manner of which breaking that mental control the same way somebody might break somebody who has been, you know, brainwashed?
So, I mean, those two might actually exist together in terms of, let's say, possession and mind control, because possession by nature is taking control of someone's mind and soul, in some cases taking over their body. But yes, I have observed possession take place. It's usually within the context of like a partial possession where, you know, all of a sudden they're overshadowed by this darkness, their eyes turn black, you might see the reptilian slit pupil eyes momentarily. Or, I mean, I have cases where people report, let's say in the dark side of Cupid cases, or even in the love bite, where these reptilian beings will overshadow the lover, and then basically this reptilian being is hosting their lover to basically take part in sex or to control somebody. So I actually have people, you know, contacting me because they believe they have possession by, like, say, a reptilian being. So there are some methods that people do to clear these things, although more often than not, I would say people are unsuccessful because they tend to come back. So I'm not really familiar with a lot of the classic exorcisms, but I did have a friend who went through a classic exorcism with a girlfriend because they were in a UFO cult and they were involved in channeling. And when they basically challenged the UFO cult leader who was channeling like entities that were high level demons, basically, they challenged them and then they got horrendously psychically attacked. And so my friend's girlfriend basically got possessed by a being that attacked her psychically because she was leaving the cult and she was threatening to tell everybody about this scam that was going on. And so my friend had to call in a priest to do an exorcism there on the woman, and it was just like classic, you know, screaming and growling and, you know, face changing and, you know, going on all night long. They had to call in a priest to do an exorcism, and luckily in that case it was successful. But, you know, you can't always find an exorcist. That's actually hard to find.
Yeah, especially in the United States. So we had Father Gary Thomas, who, you know, you and I, you've got to talk off air before, and we talked about Father Gary Thomas on the show. And, of course, he's the priest that the movie The Rite with Anthony Hopkins was based off. And, of course, Matthew, what was his last name, the author of The Rite, Nathan? Matthew Baglio. So we had Matt Baglio on. We had Father Gary Thomas on. And he said in the United States, it's, you know, each diocese has a trained exorcism. The Vatican called for that back in 95, 96, but it's still a dark, dirty secret kind in the United States. If you go to Rome, he said the office, they have offices, lines of people, which 99% of them, or 97, that they feel aren't demonically possessed. And he said it's almost like an insult to people there, where they tell them, because the people want to prove their faith in God and Christ. And he said when they go in there, they still do the ritual on them and everything. You remember this, Nathan?
I do. And I do remember him saying how, you know, what you see in the movies is not what exists when they go in there, because they will see 50 people a day to interview before exorcisms.
Right. Yeah, he's talking 50, 60 people a day. Here in the United States, you hardly ever hear about it. When you do, it's a Halloween story. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I hear about it, but I usually hear about it within the context of reptilians. But in reality, it could be demons also. Sometimes people think they're one and the same. I think they're a different type of being personally, but they tend to do similar things. And I mean, there's other healers who may do things like shamanic healings or aboriginal dreamtime healing, where they're able to rid the person of a demonic being.
Yeah.
Although most people aren't that successful. What I've found is that it's really important for the person to take responsibility for their own healing and what I call, you know, exploring their own history of child abuse, trauma, what the family involvement is in any kind of pacts or agreements or blood oaths that maybe they're not aware of, and breaking those agreements, and with a lot of prayer, with a lot of intentions, and then really working on their own healing so they seal the wounds that allow access for some of these beings. Because usually the beings come into some kind of agreement of entrapment, whether they're aware of it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And once you can get to the root of the origin of how these beings come in, you could basically rid them of it by really connecting with your own spirit. I do believe that people who've used the term Jesus Christ and prayed in that name have found that successful for a lot of people.
Right.
So I don't want to poo-poo the power of Christ, because it's worked for me. And
sure.
And I studied a lot of Buddhism, a lot of shamanism, a lot of other things.
Well, that was a good question. You know, the traditional Judeo-Christianity, Jesus Christ, you know, God in heaven, you have heaven upstairs, hell downstairs. Now, we're talking about demons, so you automatically, if you're Christian, you think, oh my gosh, it's a minion of the devil, it's an entity that has never been in human form, never, you know what I'm saying. What if you start coming at it saying, well, wait a second, wonder if this is aliens? If there are aliens among us, what about God? What if God is an alien that created?
That's a good question.
That'll just blow your mind, because
blasphemer.
Yeah, on Easter Sunday. No. Don't get me wrong. I believe in God. I was raised Baptist, and I believe in all that. But you have to. You can't be blind to it. You have to ask the questions. We were created by whatever with the brain. So we owe it to ourselves to try to look outside the box, I think.
Well, but I've often wondered, when you get into the aspect of reptilian, reptilian aliens, and the common concept of what people think of demonic,
They often refer to them as having reptilian eyes, reptilian scales.
Yeah.
And when you get into that as well, the common thought process leading to demons leads back to snakes. So several people think that the concept of the reptilian alien is actually a manifestation of people's inert fear of snakes and reptiles due to the fact of, you know, the Judeo-Christian belief in the original snake in Adam and Eve and the demonic appearance of what demons would look like due to their connection to that. So I've often, you know, wondered if aliens appear in forms that they know would frighten us.
Right.
If they exist, then why wouldn't they want to have multiple appearances in order to either make us feel comfortable or make us feel afraid?
Well, I think they do have multiple appearances, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I've found, and that they may choose different forms. The snake-type form is common that people report, like, say, when they see someone kind of quasi-shape-shifting, where they see someone's face kind of change, and they'll see this snaky face, or they'll see an alligator face, or sometimes they'll see an insect, they may see different images. So I think they can change their appearance. I mean, just like in these classic alien abductions where they see an animal, and the animal might be like a child-sized animal of a deer, for example, but had those big eyes. I mean, they could make you think you're seeing a large animal so that you accept it subconsciously while they're there.
Right.
You know?
Eve, and I know you're going to say good question again, why us? Why? It seems hopeless. We're stuck between MELABS, we're stuck between these alien races, we're stuck between our own government, if this is all real, our own government betraying us. Why common everyday Joes? I mean, are we cattle? Are we doomed here?
Well, I mean, some people seem to believe that we are property, or some of these beings try to make humans as if we are their property to live through and to feed on us, our souls. And so it goes back to the ancient battle, really, of these whole fallen angel business.
Right.
I mean, there's something to it.
Nephilim.
Although I think it's more complicated, but there's some kind of spiritual war playing out. That's what I believe.
Now, Nephilim, we had Fritz Zimmerman come on, and I know you've mentioned that before, the Nephilim, right, Eve?
Yeah.
Do you believe that those are alien then? Alien made it, they said angels made it with mortal women, created this race of giant type hybrid, you know, human giant.
I understand. I think I just had an article, and it was based on someone else's testimony. I think it was a woman named Carolyn Hamlet, who's a Christian. She was a ritual abuse survivor, where she got intel from her group that the Nephilim were actually the offspring of the Watchers and the humans, and then the Nephilim came, which they were also giants.
Right.
And then I think she even mentioned that the Nephilim actually created the reptilians to be a type of super soldier warrior race for the Nephilim. That's how I remember she mentioned that.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, a lot of these people in these cults, they have their own way of understanding it based on what they're told through their lineages. And it's not necessarily material that's written in books. It's just what they're told, you know?
Yeah. Well, I got to say, my mind's spinning tonight, Doc, guys. Eve Lorgan, I know we've kept you over, sis, about 30
seconds. It's only been double our allotted time, Sean.
Yeah, I know.
So
Evie's
awesome.
It's a
good thing that we had so much trouble earlier, because now we'll be able to fit more time in for this.
Hey, we got the message out. We fought the system, and we won tonight, guys. But, Eve, where do we go next? Where does the word? Where do you go to get the word out? When's the next book come out, if you are having one? And tell us where we can find out more about you.
Well, I have a website called evelorgan.com. It's also named like alienlovebite.com. That was the original name of my website.
Right.
And then both my books are available on Amazon, as well as hard copy and Kindle. So and then I have a link through my website, or you can just look it up on Amazon.
Yeah.
And I'm actually working on some book ideas, a joint project with someone, and I don't know. There's a lot of directions that I can go that would go into a memoir that goes into, you know, what's now, what's next, what's around the corner in terms of what we need to be concerned concerned about for humanity.
Right.
So I'm working on something with someone, but I can't reveal what that is yet. And I may even write my own experiences, which I've never really wanted to do because I wanted it to end with a positive note, and I wasn't ever sure. You're like, is this going to end right? So I right. never wrote about my own story, but eventually I probably will, you know, because I've had my own experiences.
You know, on your website, even, I'm going to close with this, Nathan, and you can take it away with Eve, and I'll close out the show. But on your website, you refer to attachment contributors to my website. You say, or any loved ones that have ties to me on all levels. And you also say, and all dimensions of time. Yeah. Can you explain that? Because, you talk about people, you know, reaching out and maybe hurting people that are affiliated with you, which is a very real possibility in our type business. But dimensional beings, like we had John Edmonds on, owner of the Stardust Ranch I was telling you about. And John, and I don't think John cares to, I mean, he let everybody know. He said he's one of the men that fought and killed a gray alien. These dimensional beings travel on his ranch. Me and Nathan's supposed to go out later this summer and camp out there, and he's warned us. But he said, you know, is that something that you're dealing with? Are you working? Because he said he is working with a race of aliens. That he is in current talks and actually work. And John, I'm not laughing. I'm just saying my mind can't conceive what's going on here. I mean, you know, they come on the air. You guys tell us about these well-thought-out things that are going on and people's heads are spinning. Then John Edmonds comes on and one-ups it and says, hey, I'm working with these things. And it's a certain race and we're going to reveal some stuff. Do you got something going on like that, Eve? I gotta ask.
No, I'm very skeptical of working with any beings who are making any claims of benevolence or being angels.
Yeah.
You know, I stick to simplicity, like connect with my own spirit, my own heart that's connected to the source of all, and stay pretty much on that path because I feel like that we can be misled by many beings who are making claims, and it doesn't mean that some beings are actually helping. I mean, I've had interactions where I was intervened by an angel to save me or to protect me during a time of crisis. And I know that they do come sometimes when your life's in danger, and that's happened to me. It's happened to friends. But I would rather go direct to the source, so to speak, through my own spirit connection and have that lead me in a spontaneous way. It seems to work better for me to do it that way than to allow in all these entities, because they're a dime a dozen. They'll come. Believe me, they'll come, and you'll have telepathic messages, and you think you're getting all kinds of stuff, and then pretty soon you're in a game, and you're in their game, and it's like another frigging problem. So I'm really skeptical now. Sorry.
Well, Eve, I got to tell you, before Nathan gets in here, you're an amazing woman. You're an amazing author. And the truth, I know it sounds cliche here, but I'm a big X-Files fan. The truth is out there. And because of people like you, and I'm proud to say because of people like Nathan and I, the truth is going to get out there to the public. And thank you so much, man, for being out there and doing this and trying to help people. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to everybody.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
And, oh, my God,
anytime. Yeah, the truth definitely is out there, and it's also inside of us. And we just have to keep looking and keep being diligent, and we will find it. I believe if we want it, we'll find it.
I think so. And Nathan, do you have anything to say to Eve?
I just want to ask Eve, I often hear these reports of people saying that the aliens connected with the Illuminati, which don't exist, and I am required to say that, have directed people's lives, and all these famous people you see that really aren't that talented have connections with them. Is there some alien Sean and I need to contact to grow the G&D show? Because we could really use some help.
Wait, do what?
Really use some help.
Don't ask me. I don't know about that one.
Okay. You know? Well, you know what, Nathan? Let's pay the bills before we lose all our sponsorship with that with that question you have. What do you say? Anyway, guys, Eve Lorgan, she's an author and an amazing person. And just go to her website. What website was that, Eve?
EveLorgan.com.
EveLorgan.com. Everybody, check out her book, The Dark of Cupid, and everything she's done, really. Anyway, special thanks to all our homes, all our sponsors, Stitcher Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Attentive Home Healthcare, good people in the Indianapolis area, ready to help the ones you love. Twitch TV, twitch.tv/ghostanddemon. Also, YouTube guys, iTunes. Hey, we're everywhere. From the haunted back roads of America, this has been another exclusive G&D show interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter.
That would be because we love you.
Night, guys.